Our Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, starting at chapter 26, verse 1. If you're following the church Bibles, it's page 158. Deuteronomy 26, verse 1. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it into a basket, and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at the time, and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor upon us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O God, have given me." Having said this, you shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from the New Testament, from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 1, and it's on page 835. Of the Church Bible. The Temptations of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Living God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. If, when you were listening to these two passages, you wondered how on earth do these passages connect, I wouldn't blame you. It is a wonder why these were chosen as the lectionary readings for this first Sunday of Lent. And I suggest to you that these two passages are connected because they speak of both God's blessing, our human need, and God's provision. Jesus was and still is fully divine, but he was also fully human. He understood our human needs. He felt the pain of hunger, the chill of the winter wind, the heat of the baking sun. He felt our needs. In the first reading, God said that he would bless the people of God. But there are times in our lives when the very things that God gives us to bless us become our focus more than God. And when that happens, they become our idols, our temptations. So in the first reading, we see the people of God being promised that they will be given this land flowing with milk and honey. And what they need to do is make sure to remember who the Lord their God is, who brought them out of the land of Egypt to this place flowing with milk and honey. But if we were to read on in the passage, we'll soon see that the people did not keep their end of the bargain. They followed the ways of Chaldea, of Egypt. They began to worship the land that God gave them. And so for them, the land was their idol, the idol of harvest, the idol of fruition and growth, the idol of self. I wonder if there's been times in our lives when our focus has overshadowed what God has been doing in our lives. My question relates to what some people call the unholy Trinity. Of me, myself, and I. In the passage that we read from the Gospel reading, we see these concepts being offered to Jesus. The offering to take for himself what he needs, me. The offering to have all of the worldly pleasures, myself. And the offering to be presumptuous about what God would have him do, I. The first temptation we look at is where the devil tells Jesus to turn stone into bread. Jesus was of the line of David. If anybody else was worthy of receiving the blessing that we saw in the Deuteronomy reading, it is Jesus. Yet Jesus gives him a strange response from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus recognized that if he had followed what the devil wanted, he will be depending on what he can do more than what the Father desired for him to do. When we are tempted, many thoughts go through our minds of what we can and should do. And in many cases, we can rationalize the best way that we can receive what we feel is best for ourselves. And Jesus responded, "It is written." We read in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." It is written. In moments where we are tempted to place ourselves before others, to feed ourselves with what we think we need, our first response should be, "It is written." We read in the second temptation why this is so important. In the second temptation, the devil says to Jesus, "I will give you all of the kingdoms of the world, all of the pleasures of this world, all of your heart's desires, if you do one thing, simply and only bow down and worship me." Jesus responds again, "It is written." And the significance of this can be overstepped easily if we don't recognize what is happening when Jesus says that. In the Bible, we see type and anti-type. We see themes of prophecy, of history. We see many things that relate to one another. And in this passage, we are seeing the devil doing what he wanted Jesus to do. In Isaiah, we see the king of Babylon. And the king is what many scholars say is a type of the devil. Just as how we see in other passages, a woman is described as a type for the body of God, the people of God. We read in Isaiah verse 14, "How you are fallen from heaven, O light bearer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Jesus knew what was written in the Word of God, and so he recognized that the whole point of the devil's temptations was because the devil wanted Jesus to worship him. The devil wanted to be above God. The devil wanted to be as God. And so here he was challenging the Son of God to bow down and worship him. He was caught up, the devil, in the idolatry of me, myself, and I. And he wanted Jesus to follow that too. And Christ responds, "It is written, worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Are there times in our lives when we seek the pleasures of the world at any cost? Now, realizing that he was not getting very far, the devil changes tact. He decides to quote scripture to Jesus. He misquotes Psalm 91 about the angels lifting up God's anointed so that their foot would not be dashed against a stone. And Jesus responds, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Are there times in our lives when we assume that if we do something, God will have to follow us. The majority of temptations we face in our lives, whether we like it or not, lead to a place of self-gratification and self-fulfillment. In those moments when we choose the idol of feeding ourselves, me, the idol of following after our own pleasures and desires, myself, the idols of being presumptuous and walking our own way, I, in those moments, we are no longer in fellowship with God. And in many cases, we walk directly against fellowship with other people. There is no I in team. Yet Jesus, in this passage, shows us another way. He chose to be hungry before we read that he would go on to feed multitudes. He took the path to be poor before he went on to tend for the needs of the poorest. And he chose total humility before he went on to receive worship as the Son of God. This morning, this Lent, many of us have come with many different thoughts, questions, and desires in our hearts. Some of us have come in this wilderness time believing and trusting that we are close to God and other people, and to that we give thanks. Some of us are here knowing that we are close in fellowship with other people, yet we recognize that our relationship with God is farther than it has ever been before. And still some of us are here feeling the waves being beaten down upon us, the feeling that the wilderness will never come to an end. And to this, Jesus says, it is written, have faith. We cannot live on bread alone, but we can trust in every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. As we come to communion, I encourage you, come as you are, wherever you are in the wilderness moment of your life, but come also expecting to meet God and be changed. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you truly need will be given to you, even if you don't feel it. I encourage you, seek after it, believe it, for God is faithful. God is faithful to every word.